Interviewee, Don Hensman. Interviewer, Sarah Cooper. Date, July 31st, 2002. Location, the Hernandez House at 300 North San Rafael. Interview number 3. Well, let's start with case study 28, because we haven't really talked about that yet. It was done in the late 60s, right? How would you compare it, or you have the year there?
Yeah, let's see. Should have it right on here. 65,
right. How would you compare it to case study 20, which was done earlier?
Well, a completely different set of circumstances where case study 20 was done in conjunction with the Douglas for Plywood Association. Mm-hmm. Case study 28 was done in conjunction with Pacific Clay Products that manufacture all the bricks.
Right.
And they wanted to do a kind of a case study house showing the use of brick, where it was used not only but structurally. And not as a veneer, which is the normal way you do it, where you build stud walls and then you veneer it with brick. So all the complete floor of case study 28 was brick, and all the walls were solid bricks, of course reinforced, but showing that you could use it laterally, structurally, and also something that didn't have to be maintained inside or outside.
Huh, ever?
Ever. Well, wow. Theoretically never. Never had to touch it. It was brick. It'll last forever.
Right.
And so a major difference in that respect, plus a completely different concept. As far as the plan, we developed a big level pad, and we basically had two major rectangles connected with two glass gallerias. One rectangle was the adult living and the family living with the kitchen facilities in the middle. And then the other wing, the other rectangle, was the master bedroom and then the children's bedrooms, so that there's two glass gallerias linking them. So the adults use one link and the children another link. And these afforded a private patio which had the pool in it and protected from the wind and all. So it was a very unique plan.
I've read something like that referred to as binuclear or trinuclear. Is that what this is?
In a way, it's not quite binuclear, no. It's two separate plans connected with links. Binuclear is something else, which we have some other houses.
Okay.
But it's very unique in that respect.
How did you get the commission for case study 28?
Oh, that was very easy. It's amazing you'd ask, because I had a luncheon one day with a friend of mine and the president of Pacific Clay Products, named Walt Collins. And it's down at the LA Athletic Club, in fact. I just remember it very well.
Uh-huh.
And during the luncheon, he said, you know, what we'd really like to do is to build a house using just nothing but brick. I said, that's very simple. Just retain us to design one, and so be it. And the next thing I knew, we had the Jance Corporation out in the valley were doing a new development out there of lots, pretty exclusive lots. So in conjunction with the Jance people and Pacific Clay Products and Arts and Architecture magazine, which John Intenzo was the editor.
Right.
We just collaborated all those together, and that was the beginning of Case Study 28.
Huh. Did it get as much recognition as Case Study 20 had for you guys?
I don't think so, because it was so far out, because being out in Thousand Oaks, for one thing.
Right.
Just wasn't quite as easy to get to. And it was really the last of the case study programs. Case study houses. It should have gotten more. It got a lot of publicity, and it was in the, of course, LA Times and a lot of magazines, but it may have got more than I think, but the case study 20 got a tremendous amount of publicity. But it was a very good house. They had a big formal opening, and it was open to the public for about a year, and they sold it.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel that could you sense that the case study program was ending at that time?
No, I had no idea.
Really?
It could have continued. I think, I'm not really sure what happened. I think it was just that period where that publication just was lacking some money or funding or whatever. I have no idea. Maybe it's John Intenza. We became involved in so many other projects that was just another one down the line.
Mm-hmm.
We'd already done, our second one, and no intention. I'm doing the third.
Okay. Because you had so many other commissions going on, it was fine. Is there anything else you'd like to say about case study 28 before we go on?
No, it was very successful. They had a great party out at the Lewis Orville's Country Club, and a lot of people attended, and like I said, it was open to the public for almost a year, and they got a lot of recognition. But it was a very elegant house, and probably a little out of the range of a normal family home, because it was quite large, and ironically, quite expensive, because they're all done brick.
Even though the
brick were donated, a lot of labor. So it didn't make a lot of sense in that respect, but it was good in terms of what it was meant to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on to the governor's mansion. Can you tell me how you got the commission to begin with, and then what happened with it?
Well, that's a very interesting and also a very long story, but we got a letter one day from the state architect asking us to submit qualifications for doing the governor's residence. It was, even though Nancy wanted to be her favorite architect, the state governor and the legislators said it had to be a competition among all the architects in the state.
Who was her favorite architect?
Well, I don't even remember the name right now.
Okay.
So when we noted, we got the letter, it had already been, the deadline had already been reached.
Oh.
So we called the state architect. He said, well, it's been postponed. He said, we give you another couple of weeks. So strangely enough, Conrad and I just said, well, what the hell, we'll put some stuff together. So we put a bunch of photographs together and some of the awards we'd won. And we submitted that to the state. And I was having lunch at La Scala one afternoon out at Beverly Hills. A few months later, Conrad, who was not feeling well that morning, called me. Said, Don, I just got a phone call from the state architect. We've been selected to do the governor's residence. And I thought he was smoking funny cigarettes or something, or whatever, drinking one. Hell no. I said, you got to be kidding. It's impossible, because we'd already had rumors that someone else had got it.
Uh-huh.
But no, he said, we want it. So he convinced me, and we did. We were selected of all the architects in the state from what we had submitted.
Do you have any idea why?
Just on the basis of the photographs and the amount of awards and the amount of the reputation we'd gained somehow, and concentrating, being architects that did mainly residential work. It's all I can imagine, but somehow we got it. And we went up to Sacramento, met with the state architect, and proceeded with doing working drawings or preliminaries. And then we did basic research with Ronnie and Nancy.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah, and then we interviewed them, and then we also met with Governor Brown and his wife, Pat Brown. They lived down in the Brentwood area.
What were some of the desires of the Reagans and of the Browns when you met with them?
Well, the biggest kind of, the state architect said it had to have an early California character to it, which meant probably mission tile on the roof and heavy beams and rough stucco and that sort of thing. But the biggest obstacle was Nancy wanting grandiose stairways like Tara. She wanted to have probably colonial columns and grandiose swirling stairways going up to the second floor and all that.
Uh-huh.
Crystal chandeliers, which is not in our character at all, our vernacular.
No.
So the first preliminary, they seemed to like the first plan. It was a series of different units connected with glass links, galleria, somewhat like Case Study 28.
Mm-hmm.
But Ronnie and Nancy went down to Mexico on vacation. I guess they showed the plans to some people in the way, and they came back and they were convinced there was too much glass, too many glass links in terms of energy and all that. And they thought it all ought to be more tied together and not so many loose wings with all these galleries tying them all together, which is pretty dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a call one morning from the state architect, John Worsley, and he said he and the state engineer were coming down that afternoon to talk to us. So I just had a quick feeling that it might be regarding the plan. So I remember just sketching out a little on a little pad, red pencil, I still remember, another preliminary with from the experience with the, what we knew what the requirements were. See, there were, the unusual thing about this as a client is you have no client per se. You have to design it for whoever may be governor.
Oh, right.
Lesser, whether it's a bachelor like Jerry Brown or a big family with 10 kids.
Sure.
Or a lot of relatives or whatever. So we had to design it with a bedroom wing that accommodated a lot of children and a master suite and a very big entertaining zone for legislature and all.
Oh, right.
So it was a lot of specific requirements, yet it had to be very flexible and versatile. But luckily, I came up with a little scheme, just freehand drawing, and the state architect and engineer arrived and they told us that we had to do some other preliminaries, which we kind of smelled was going to happen.
Sure.
And we showed them the plan, that little quick freehand sketch, and they liked it.
Huh.
They said, sounds good. So we drew it up, modulated it, worked out a structural system. That was the plan.
Huh.
So we redrew that at a very large scale with some elevations. Went up and met with Nancy and Ronnie at their rented home in Sacramento, and they liked it, and we went ahead working drawings.
What was it like working with Nancy and Ronald Reagan? What were they like as people? How did they strike you?
Oh, Ron was very fine. Nancy was not the easiest person in the world because she had a favorite architect, someone she wanted to work with, and she really wanted to be more traditional. She knew that we were contemporary architects.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd also done an exhibition home up in Pine Tree Point House up in outside of Tehachapi, and Dart Industries had big development up there. They sold land, and we did an exhibition home. And Mrs. Dart had furnished a house there. We had made some not too flattering remarks about, and she was a big friend of Nancy's, and
oh.
So that made it a little rough, but the state architect was very much on our side, and Ronnie was very easy to work with, and he just wanted to get it started before he left office. That was the reason that it really got started in the first place, because Ronnie had already informed everyone that he was not going to run for governor, so thereby was nonpartisan.
Oh, okay.
So they, and the kitchen cabinet kind of provided the lot, Justin Dard and Homestuddle and some of his kitchen cabinet. Donated the land, so the combination got it off.
Did you see anything in Ronald and Nancy Reagan when you worked with them that you later saw when he was president and she was first lady in terms of how their image in the media or anything?
No, it's just about what we expect. I mean, we worked long enough with them, they're pretty consistent in attitude and all, I'm sure. It was just a very interesting experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I did find out that so often what you heard on television or read in the papers really wasn't what happened.
Really?
It was all dependent on who, politically, which side they were on, mm-hmm. and who was had influence on the press and all that. And a lot of people were, well, Jerry Brown was very much opposed to the governor's residence being
picked. Right. Tell me about that.
Well, he really created a stir, especially when he was nominated, and he really tried to shut us down. But he couldn't until he was governor. And he even proposed a formal Indian dig, which cost the state, I think, something like $100,000, and delayed the job of doing a formal dig, saying that there were Indians that lived there and there were going to be Indian arrowheads and on, and shards of pottery and on. So after a formal dig, in spite of some potential little pieces put there at midnight, they didn't find anything of any significance, so we were able to go ahead. So after getting a contractor, John Worsley was very good at getting it started and getting as many materials on the job as possible before Jerry Brown became governor. And almost the day he was sworn in as governor, he tried to shut it down.
Why?
Well, he had to rent a little apartment house in Sacramento, and he didn't want to live in a great big governor's mansion outside of Sacramento and this great big house all by himself. So he rationalized that he wanted to be close to the government and close to all the politics and all that sort of thing, and so he refused to move into it. But we got, actually he wanted to stop the construction, but they convinced him that it cost more to shut it down than to continue doing it. So really? We get over the hump as far as that was concerned.
Huh.
And they finished it, and he wouldn't move in. And so it sat there. And they wouldn't landscape it or furnish it. And then when Duke Bajan moved in, or when Duke Bajan became governor, we had talked to him and also Tom Bradley, both potential governors, and they both wanted to move in, but they couldn't get the legislature to lot money to landscape it or furnish it in time so they could move into it. So Duke Bajan leased a house in town. And then somehow, this is really a long, long story, but to make it real concise, they sold the property off. Well, actually, yeah, they sold it to Matt Franish, who called us, commissioned us to do a variety of solutions to utilize it, some of it. Retirement homes or condominiums part, and cut off some of the properties and make some money that way. But he actually wanted the governor to move into it at a very low rate. But Duke Bajan was already settled at the time and didn't want to create any stir by moving into it. So a tremendous number of complications and ramifications and buried stories and on, so we had no control whatsoever, so we just had to take it in stride.
What, did you meet Jerry Brown and work with him very closely?
No, I never met Jerry Brown.
Never met him?
Oh no, he was a thorn in our side.
Yes.
He's created all nothing but problems. Here we are, one of the greatest commissions you could have as an architect, to do the governor's residence, and the governor won't move into it. So it's just one of those, you know, an amazing story. We got the job in the first place, and second place, to have a governor who wouldn't move into it. So what can you do?
What's it being used for now?
They actually sold it to Matt Franish. He furnished it and landscaped it. Conrad and I went to the first party he had there, which was a fundraising thing with a fashion show.
Huh.
In fact, we both slept in the guest suite. It was a black tie affair, and we went up and stayed overnight. Had a fun time with Matt and did a lot of projects for him, but he couldn't get off the ground, I think he may have subdivided it and got a few lots out of it. He died a few years ago and we lost contact with him.
Hmm.
Nice guy, but he was very, had a big wrought iron siren made out in front, La Casa de los Gobernadores.
Oh.
And he really wanted the governor to move into it. But he and his wife used it for a weekend retreat. They actually lived in San Diego. And many, many tales about that residence.
Hmm.
But could go on and on and on.
How do you feel looking back on it now, on the whole process? Do you still?
Oh, it was a great experience.
Yeah.
Great experience, and we did a lot of traveling up to Sacramento, and one time, Vern Orr, who was then state treasurer, I guess his wife, knowing Nancy and Mrs. Dart, they didn't think we were qualified or something. We got a call from the state architect that we had to meet with Vern Orr to bring a lot of photographs and details of things we've done. So we went to the Capitol building and met with Vern Orr and showed him photographs and awards and all that, and he was convinced that we weren't second-rate architects. So that settled that particular problem. But it was a lot of varied experiences, and as I said before, so many things you'd read in the paper and on TV, but depending on what political side had the influence on that particular media. So,
were there any TV stations or newspapers that were really difficult to work with?
Well, for instance, when we had groundbreaking, I think Channel 4 up there, they had their broadcasters and came in, and when we went to listen to it that night, it was all scrambled, the groundbreaking part of it. Then went on to the other show. Somehow it was very coincidental that the groundbreaking didn't come through. Ironic. So who knows?
Who knows? Huh.
And I found out later on, because one of the broadcasters is a friend of mine, and he said, well, it was on the Brown side that had some kind of influence with it. But I don't know. I mean, believe it at that.
Okay. Did the commission gain you notoriety among fellow architects? Or
well, in some respect, because Jerry Brown gave it such a bad time and calling it various and sundry names and putting it down was negative. So it was really very conjectural how positive it was.
Mm-hmm. But it might have gotten you more commissions if people saw pictures of it.
It was really strange. And I, if you really mentioned that you'd done the governor's residence, some people would kind of frighten them in terms of new clients.
Really?
It's kind of a reverse psychology. You never could tell. You think it'd be make a big impact and all that sort of thing, but some people react negatively.
Because they knew all the stories of the slowness?
Yeah, yeah, all the publicity about it. Huh. Very good and bad.
Huh.
It was a damn good solution for was to be, I think, one little, probably the only thing that I would have changed different in the whole plan differently would be the master dressing area. I would have, I think, the whole master bedroom. The bedroom was okay, but I think the dressing for the governor's wife should have been much bigger. But other than that, the plan, considering their needs and the budget we had, we were right on budget.
Huh.
And it was a very dramatic house, and it served all the functions, and it worked beautifully. And we had certain requirements, like we had to allow design for the news media's. They had to throw a swimming party every year, maybe every 6 months, for the children of the news media. So we had to have a separate kind of entrance for the kids to come in. Instead of going through the main, they come in through the side and have a big swimming party with all kinds of hot dogs and things like that. That was in change rooms. So you always remember that. And then we had to have not only the main kitchen for most social functions, but we had to have a small family kitchen. So if it was family with a couple of kids, they could live as a normal family in their wing of the house,
mm-hmm.
and function without having to be involved with servants on the wing for major parties and that sort of thing. So we had to accommodate just for nominal or optimum family, and yet it had to work for maybe entertaining 150 people.
Mm.
I'd have a lot of flexibility, still be in scale for small groups, but work for large groups as well. So one space flowed into the other. A lot of interesting things about it. Without the plan, I can't really show you.
Right, that's okay. With the dressing room, though, if Nancy Reagan was a consultant, you would think the dressing room might have been a reasonable size, right?
It was a good size, but
yeah.
I think, you know, she got a lot of all the dress designers were giving her dresses and this sort of thing, and
Change
clothes all the time. It never came up, but
okay.
I, knowing the situation with now, it's not a major flaw.
No. Tiny.
But it was, that's, you know, considering everything else, and it worked beautifully.
Huh, that's great. Well, thank you for telling me about that. Now you've got your side of the story on the record.
Yeah, right.
Well, let's talk about some of the other celebrities that you've worked with. I know that a couple of them are Frank Sinatra, Steve McQueen, Mia Farrow. Which were most pleasant to work with of the celebrities you worked with?
Well, that whole thing, working with a lot of the, some of the celebrities, all started. We did a house for Helen Rose in 59. And Helen Rose was a couturier. She did all the design, a lot of the gowns for the great stars. And very, very elegant, like Prince Rainier's wife.
Princess Grace?
Princess Grace. She did the Grace Kelly's and on and on, a lot of those. And very nice lady. I didn't realize at the time how important she was, but she was doing the costume design for a picture called Butterfield Eight with Elizabeth Taylor and Lawrence Harvey,
mm-hmm.
who had just come over from England. He had done Room at the Top. It was a big, big hit. And so Lawrence Harvey bought a lot of them in Coldwater Canyon, and he liked Helen Rose and said, well, I wanted to build a house, and said, do you know any young architects? Of course, it was 40 years ago. She said, well, I just finished a house up in Truesdale, and then Conrad Buff and Don Hensman. So he called us, and we met Lawrence Harvey, and we designed a house for him on Cabrillo. I don't know if you know who Lawrence Harvey is or not, but he did the Butterfield Eight and Manchurian Candidate and Walk on the Wild Side.
Sure.
And Lawrence had Larry, we call him. His attorney was Frank Wells with Gang Terror, Rudy Brown, who were the attorneys for all the big celebrities in town, James Garner being one.
Mm.
So we in the meantime, Steve McQueen had bought a house we did up in Nichols Canyon. And that was for people named Waldman. It was a relatively small house, and Steve bought it, and I met with him, and he just had married Neil, I think.
Tatum?
No, it'll come to me.
Okay.
Anyway, married, and they had, she became, wife became pregnant, so we had to keep, we had on, keep adding on under the overhang for the baby, and then for the nurse, and more office space, and we just kept adding on, adding and adding to that house. And Steve was a great guy to work with. He really was a lot of fun. And of course, he kept, one thing I always remember about him, he was a real racer.
Uh-huh.
He'd be driving either motorcycles or speed or hot rods up the valley, and the cops were always stopping him because neighbors were complaining, but they stopped him mainly to talk to him and talk about motorcycles and cars. But he was a great sport about that. And then we did, through Frank Wells, the attorney, we met with the Garners, and we did the James and Lois Garner's house out in Brentwood. And that was really a very nice commission, and one of our best houses. And it's still a great house. And that was a very, you know, interesting period of our life, too.
What was it like to work with the Garners?
That we worked mainly with Mrs. Garner.
Yes, and what was she
and,
like?
She was very, very particular, and
yeah,
very precise, and everything had to be just right, so we dedicated a lot of time to it.
Was there a particular thing that you kept working on to try to get it right for her?
No, well, like, you know, fireplace we designed a few times, and I just spent a lot of time, we actually built that house, and I spent a lot of time supervising it, like starting off every morning, and then I spent the whole afternoon there every day, and it had to be a really very important home, and it had to be right, and so it turned out fine.
What do you like so much about that house?
It's very dramatic. It was a great site. There was part of a botanical garden, and it's about an acre, and from the entrance, the driveway, the street, up to the back part of the property, about 65 feet of elevation.
Wow.
And there are a lot of major trees, so the challenge was to design as residents to get the vehicle up in there and get some guest parking and two-story residence and save all the major trees and make a good piece of architecture with a swimming pool and all. So it was quite a challenge, but it came out fine.
Hmm.
They're still living there, by the way.
Oh, the Garners.
Mm-hmm.
What about other celebrities? You worked with Frank Sinatra at some point?
Well, we did through Lawrence Harvey.
Oh.
I met Mia Farrow.
Uh-huh.
And we had a lot of fun together. We did a second house for Larry down in Malibu.
Yeah.
And he threw a lot of parties and a lot of celebrities there. And I got to know Mia. And she, when she met and married Frank, they had a house on Copa de Oro, in, up at UCLA.
Oh, yeah.
And she wanted to redo the kitchen. And then she wanted to redo the old master bedroom suite, which I helped with and designed. And that was fun working with Mia. It didn't have much to do with Frank. I had met him at other functions, that sort of thing, but he was too busy. He didn't want to be involved to let Mia handle that, so.
What was Mia like to work with?
Oh, she was a lot of fun. She was great, like a tomboy.
Yeah? Did you like play catch? I mean, what did you do with her?
Oh, we go at the party down in Malibu, we'd go swimming on the ocean, that sort of thing.
Oh, wow.
So we became quite close,
huh,
with Larry and all that.
Uh-huh.
So that was good. And then we, and through Larry or Joan Harvey and George Jones, through a lot of parties, all the big stars in town. And then, remember one Easter party she was having, Tom Redden, who was then chief of police, was at the party. And I was kind of, Larry's out of town, so I was kind of acting as host. And I remember going up to Tom, who's, you know, at 6'5". And, "Can I fix you something to drink?" It was an Easter afternoon, and he's, "I'd like something tall and cold and alcoholic." So, and I fixed that for him, and Tom and I have been ever friends, Tom and his wife, and ever since. I still see them, and I helped remodel their home, some big pavilion they had in the back, and some other miscellaneous jobs for him. And other celebrity was, we did I went to school with Warren Christopher, who's Secretary of State.
Sure, hold on just a moment.